Well, let's look at the Word this morning. See what God has in store for us. And start with Romans. I'm trying to jump right into this because sometimes I try to share things and I realize, all right, we're a little behind, so I don't want to keep you here too awfully long. But in the book of Romans, that's nice. Thank you. I don't know why I'm in a shadow. I'm trying to read this up here and having a little trouble. There we go. But in the book of Romans, chapter 15, verses 5 through 6, it says, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement," so catch that, "may the God who gives endurance and encouragement," where does it come from? God. He'll do it through people, but it comes from Him. And so keep that in mind. The God who gives us endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity. Let me read it up here. And we got that. Did I give you that? Yeah, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was still having a little trouble reading that. I thought, I don't know why I've got the bright lights. You know, you're on Broadway. Here it is. So anyway, we're going to take that and we want to look at this and say, the God who gives us encouragement and endurance, and so that we can glorify God, and that's what we want to grab this morning. God gives us endurance and encouragement and everything, but it says so we can do what? Glorify Him. And we don't talk enough about that. And so let's talk a little bit today about how do we glorify God. I don't like bringing, it's just been in my heart for so long, don't want to bring a message that tells you what to do without, how do I do it? I used to have to listen to those way back when, and I heard them in seminary and all kinds of places, and you'd hear, the Lord says, and you're supposed to, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I know that. How do you do it? How does it apply? Don't just tell me what it says. See, the hard part is the practical application. How in the world does this apply to me? How am I supposed to fix it? Does God have a solution for that? I mean, that's like a parent saying, don't you do that, but never explain anything else how for me not to do it. They used to tell me, you know, a little kid growing up, my sister reminds me of this a lot, by the way. She brought this up the last time I saw her. She said, you really picked on me when we were kids. And of course, I'm thinking, you deserved it. But, you know, that was my thought. But she said, you really picked on me when we were kids. And you played tricks on me, and you did all kinds of stuff to me. And I made paper shoes for a cat once. Have you ever done that? Well, they'll stand there, and the cat, I made these little paper shoes and put them on the little cat. The cat doesn't know what to do, so it'll hold up its little foot and then slowly put it down and hold up the other one. And it looks like it's marching, and they're real slow. And, pardon? I just had these little cups made out of a paper with a rubber band, and I ran it up there and snapped it on his little feet. You know, little kid. And anyway, so she reminds me, you know, you used to pick on me and do all this stuff. But she's proud of the moment, her one moment out of all that, when she got back at me. And that's when she grabbed the old Coke bottle. And I think I've shared this before. Remember the old thick Coke bottles? When they made them real heavy glass? She grabbed one of those and ran up behind me and hit me right in the back of the head with that thing. We played rough. We grew up in a rough environment. Yeah, she smacked me right in the back of the head with that Coke bottle. And that's the way we were, you know, just rugged and all. And, you know, so Why am I telling you this? We didn't grow up glorifying anything. We grew up rough. Had a mom that was, I don't know what was wrong with her. We'll never know. But she couldn't take care of us, but couldn't be a mom. So dad had tried to do double duty. I think that's what really, really in the end took his life so early. He just had to do double duty without any help. And we didn't go to church. We didn't worship God. We didn't do anything. So we weren't glorifying the Lord. And we didn't glorify anything except survival. And so as a lead into this, and I don't want to ramble around, but friends, the reason is, this sounds like, okay, so the God who gives endurance, encouragement, you know, use this to glorify Him, right? But when we start talking about really glorifying God, first we have to recognize the things we're glorifying that are not God, that's taking the glory away from Him. You know what we glorified when I was growing up? Survival. We didn't have money. Dad didn't hardly have anything. We didn't make any money. And survival was our thing. So we didn't call it survival. We called it getting by. We got to get by. We got to have money to buy eggs with. We got to have money to buy bacon with. We just need the basic stuff. You know why we really needed bacon? We put it in the bean pot to flavor beans. And we needed money for cornbread and flour. And you know what that was for, right? Cornbread. Cornmeal, so we can make cornbread. Cornbread went a long way. So, hey, beans and cornbread will go a long way. And so will gravy. That's why to this day, though, I still like beans and cornbread with a red onion. There's just something about a good red onion and beans and cornbread, and you can just sit there. It just, as long as you don't stand up after you eat, because it all falls down. But, just lean back. And so beans and cornbread, but I also like gravy and biscuits. And it won't hurt if there's some bacon or sausage there. Why? That was our staple. Gravy went a long way. And we made gravy out of bacon grease and gravy out of, what we called it, drippings off of meat. And we had lots and lots of deer meat and all that. And then we used to drip. Anyway, why are you saying all this? We glorified survival. And I'm sharing with you how we survived. Just getting by was the thing we focused on. And it got, I look at it now, and I mean, I brought here a while back, brought a message on, the childish things we have in adult lives and the childish behavior. And where does it come from? Well, some of mine came from things like that. We couldn't get shoes very often. New shoes. I wore, those canvas tennis shoes, and Dad just put tape on them. And had one pair of boots. And when you got a hole in the boot, you put a piece of paper, or cardboard, or something in there, and just walked on it. And heels came off. You try to tack them back on with little tacks you use for the, I don't know what do you call them, for screen doors. Those little tacks you put in there. And so you may do on everything. So we glorified survival, and we glorified getting by. We didn't know we were doing it. But who did not get the glory? God. And then as you grow up and mature in life, and you get older, I'd rather say mature, and so you may not realize it, but in here, you're still glorifying those things, and you're still worried about money, and you're still worried about having enough stuff, and so you get more stuff than you need, like to this day. And that's also where I live. It's a good idea, but I go overboard sometimes, and I share this because maybe some of you catch yourself doing the same thing. If you're going to get one, get two. That's the way we work. If you always get more because you don't know what might happen, you don't know what's going to come up, and maybe next week we won't have the money for this, so always try to get two. The problem is that accumulates on some things. So if you're going to get one pair of socks now, get two. Always get extra. And never, ever let the pickup get below a half a tank. I some of you, I know, and I know people that do this, and it makes me crazy. They drive till that little light comes on. Now it's time to fill up. Friends, if I'm with you and you're driving and I see that little light blinking, give me some medication. because we were raised this way, and I'm still that way. You don't pull that truck up to that house unless there's a minimal half a tank of gas in that truck. But if you don't watch it, you'll glorify those things. They become too big, and they become gods, and you end up worshiping them. Frantic. I still this day, it's one of my weaknesses. I watch that gas gauge, and I get frantic thinking, should I not? Better stop, better find a place. And God's not even in my mind. And this is my job. God, I mean, it's who called me into this, it's who I'm preaching, teaching about. But even myself, I struggle with these things. So if you find yourself, decide right now, what are you glorifying? Are you glorifying the political party? It's okay to be a part of one, and I've got my issues on a bunch of things right now, but I can't glorify that. I've got to keep Jesus Christ in his right, proper place. He's number one. And then under that, all these things can have their place. Let me ask you something. This is a tough one, okay? Are you glorifying your kids? Grandkids? Are they too much a priority, and do they take the place of God? What will you do for them that you won't do for God? Now, are you glorifying your church? Sometimes to a lot of Christians, I'll say many times, church is more important than God. How it looks, how we dress, is the pastor doing this, the way it's delivered, is the music in its proper place, and on and on and on. And we make the church more important than God, and we glorify it. So I can't answer for you, just ask yourself, what am I glorifying? Is it my new sports equipment? Is it my clothes? Kids, grandkids, husband, wife, money, position, and put it in its place. Ask God to show you. You know, the psalmist prayed, Lord, you know, search my heart and know me and reveal to me any unclean thing. Ask God to do that. I have to ask him to do that. God, before I get up there and preach, tell me, is there something, and that's why I'm sharing these honest things with you this morning about my own self. God just shows me, yeah, you get too hung up on getting two things. And you worry about gas in that truck to worry about that thing. That can be obsessive. I mean, you got to let this go and trust me. And it's not that God's telling me to drive home with the light blinking. My truck's old, didn't have a light that blinks. But it's got all the gauges. I'm a gauge guy. I want to see all these gauges and little things doing this and that. I don't want them doing this. I want them staying still right in the middle. But the point is, I don't want to be obsessive, and you don't either. And so don't, whatever you're glorifying outside of God, and be honest with yourself. And whatever it is, are you willing this morning to say, God, I submit that to you. Because if you're not willing to, what I'm about to say in the rest of this is going to be tough for you to do the way God wants it done. And so this whole passage says he gives us endurance and encouragement. In other words, he's going to see us through. He's going to see you through all the things you're worried about right now. He's going to provide your needs. But yet glorify him. Glorify him. Glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let me jump right in the middle of it and get on with this so you won't be here all day. First, glorify God by honoring and respecting God as God. He's not your buddy. He's your God. You say, why do you have to say that, Tony? Let me tell you. Too many parents in the preceding two generations and the ones I see now raising kids want to be buddies to their children. You're their dadgum parent. Act like it. They're going to learn to respect God's authority through the authority you exercise. You're not here to be their buddy. You're here to be their teacher, their guide, their instructor, their role model. You're here to teach them to respect God, to respect authority. And how when they have their own authority, not to lord it over people, but to show a genuine compassion toward people, even though you have to lead them and direct them. Is everyone with me? And they're not going to learn it if you're their pal. Oh, when they're grown, they get grown up, you know, and okay, they're out of the house. Yeah, then you know, it's a different story. But when you raise it, you know, they've got to know and see God's authority through you. And by the way, guys, listen, and I've said this in some prior messages, but I have to emphasize it. They're going to learn, they're going to get their image of God through you. So stand tall. As I said last week, have a chest. Be willing to take a stand and do the right thing. And fellas, ladies too, when you take and do the right thing and you take your stand to do what's right, you're sure not going to be liked by everybody at the moment. Not even your own family. And I run into so many guys and they say, and I ask them, why don't you take a stand against that? Why don't you stand up in the middle of your family and say, take those cell phones and when we eat, shut them off. We're going to pile them right over here, and this is going to be a family meal, and you're not going to sit there texting while we're eating. Well, I know. It's like, get a chest. It's time to be a man to stand up. And mom, you got to support that, and you got to, you know, emphasize the same thing, be together on it. It drives me nuts. It's a pet peeve. I'd get on my soapbox, but I don't want to fall off and hurt my shoulder. It's a pet peeve. People ask me to go eat with us, or we go to somebody's house and undivided. And I'm not grabbing anybody here, but I go other places, you well know, and folks in their homes and want me to do this or that and listen to whatever. And I watch husband and wife and the kids. They're all texting each other. I think, what am I doing here? I don't have any qualms because I'm getting older and more cantankerous. And you know, you just don't hold your mouth like you used to. And I'll say something. Why do y'all have me here? Oh, Pastor, we wanted to talk with you about blessing. And it's like, put those things down and they're shocked. It's like, I'm not talking to a cell phone. I'm talking to you. And they're stunned. And a lot of times they didn't even mean it. They're so used to doing it, they don't even realize. You and I and all of us have a responsibility to say, let's put those aside and look each other in the eye and get this straightened out. And I have to tell some people, and I don't have any qualms doing it. Husband and wife, y'all call their names. You know why you're having trouble? No, this thing. You're forgetting how to communicate. Quit texting and start looking at each other and communicating with these things. See, that one agreed. Said amen. Did you hear that? I heard that in that victory. Put God first and honor Him. Honor and respect God as God. He's not your buddy. Jesus said, I'm your friend. So God is that. But He's your Savior and Lord. And have respect for Him. How long has it been? Let me ask you this. How long has it been just, and if you're able to do it, have you just gotten on your knees before God? You can pray standing up. I do it a lot in driving or what. But there's times in humility and glorifying Him. Have you ever thought, wouldn't it be a good idea if I just showed God that kind of respect and just this once, just for this whole week, I just knelt before Him and said, I'm a weak human being. God have mercy on me, a sinner. And by this act, I'm recognizing and glorifying you as God. Would it make a difference for you? Would it change your relationship with Him in that act, the very act of humility? And if you start acting, maybe you really start yielding. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and everything you need will be given to you. So seeking God's kingdom, when He says, how do you put me first? How do you glorify God? Put your thoughts, your feelings, your affections before Him. Let Him be your thoughts. Colossians, what does Colossians say? You know, look above. Put your thought and your heart on things above, not on things of this earth. It means that you're putting your character on the line and you're saying, God, if there's anything in my character that's worldly, show me and lead me to repent of it and take it out. I want my character based on Jesus Christ and Him alone. Not what somebody thinks, not what I've been told. I want people to look at me and say, that person, that man, that woman has the character of Christ in them. Look at them. They walked away from that incident and didn't cuss back. Somebody yelled at them and they didn't turn red in the face. They just nodded and walked away. Look at the character of Christ in that person. Their pride didn't overwhelm them. Their ego is submitted. I was given a set of books last week. When I first looked at it, I thought, well, this is different. And I kind of read it on the outside, and it was the Luke Horn saga. Clarence and Ann handed me these books and said, read these. If you like them, bring them back. I want to read them. I said, oh, okay. And it's about a Christian family in the Wild West. Unique. It's written in Louis Lamar style. It's written by a guy named Rupp, R-U-P-P. He was a police officer and now he's a pastor. See, that works. God likes to take these killers and put them in the pulpit. You ever seen that movie, Machine Gun Pastor? Never mind, preacher. Okay. Anyway. Look at the warriors God has used to promote His word. Isn't it interesting? How many of the people... Look at even Saul of Tarsus who became Paul. Man, he was a warrior, Pharisee warrior, going out and get those Christians. And God takes that man because they've got that spirit in them that doesn't quit, won't give up. Anyway, this guy grew up with these books. And I thought, what a unique perspective. You read Lamar, and I'm a Lamar guy. I mean, I've got all those volumes. But this guy writes it from how does a Christian... face evil, and would you do it in that environment? Never seen that before. So I picked the first one up with a little bit of see how this is going to go. Because I'll tell you what I didn't want. I didn't want to get in there and find this Christian who everything that happened, he supposedly just walks away and is a little Mickey Mouse, meek little thing, mousy. And the Lord strikes him with lightning bolts and all, and thought, I hope it's not ridiculous like that. No, this dude is a Christian raised in a Christian home, and scripture is all through this book. But when it comes to taking care of others and defending them, that dude will get in the middle of it. And he punches some guys out, and some folks start shooting at his family, and boy, he lets them have it. I was just amazed. But what it's doing, and it was really, it starts making you challenge yourself with, as a Christian, am I a pacifist? Or am I a warrior? Am I a peacemaker? What am I? And I thought, what a twist. Great, great Western story, by the way. And it's the Luke Horn saga. There's just only three books that I have so far. I read all three of them in a week. I stayed up till 1 o'clock in the morning. My shoulder hurts. I can't sleep. And I thought, read those books. So I read them all. Now I'm sorry I did. I don't have any more to read. You ever do that to yourself? You don't want to finish a book because it's too good? Anyway, back to this so we can close it out. Seeking God's kingdom means that I'm going to get some priorities here, and I'm going to put my thoughts, my feelings, my affections before God, and it means my character now is going to be based on Christ. And you know what else? It means when I pray, I pray. Last week we did a little exercise, and I asked you to do sentence prayers before we started. Do you know what? We wanted and needed to pray, and we needed to have time for everybody to be able to pray. But you know what the other part of that was? And I didn't explain it, but I'll tell you now. It's to teach you, you don't have to have a whole bunch of words. Jesus said, don't be wordy like all these heathens are. Get to the point. And so the sentence prayer, and we'll do some more of them as we go along, there's always something there. Like, you know, I don't do these things for fun. And so, yes, we need to pray, but we need to learn how to get to the point with God. And when I was saved in the churches, I was saved when I was 17, and then from then on, the churches I was in, people get up and pray, and you've seen it. Maybe you've done it yourself, and I began doing it that way. Oh, Lord. And you know, their voice quaver. And it goes on, and you're falling asleep. And really, if you listen carefully, you can hear God snoring. Okay, that's not biblical, but that's my version of it. What did Jesus say? Don't use a bunch of words like the heathen do. And he gave the Lord's Prayer, and look how many topics he covered in there. And how long does it take to pray that prayer? Less than a minute? What he was saying is, get to the point. God already knows your needs. He just wants you to be humble enough to confess them and tell God your needs. So instead of taking 5 minutes to say, God, I need more money, why don't you just say that? Lord, I need more money. And if you learn to do that, it might help your whole family situation. They won't fall asleep while you're trying to tell them what you want. Pray. Prayer honors God. It glorifies Him. People, things, and goals are going to compete. Circumstances for your priority. Elections will too. And you're going to have to make an effort. But it'll be worth the effort to glorify God and put Him first. Secondly, glorifying God means this, returning love to God. You ever thought about it? God, you love me. You said you so loved me that you gave your only begotten Son. That if I believe in Him, whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. But have you ever said to God, God, thank you for loving me, but now will you use me and help me to return that love to you? Will you help me, God, to be able from my heart to say to you, I love you, and it not be hypocritical, it not be a churchy thing, it not be the thing Christians are supposed to say, but when I say I love you, God, I'm giving you my heart. In other words, when I say I love you, God, I'm married to you through Jesus Christ, my faith in Him. You're my God, my Father, and I'm spiritually wed to you. I'm going to be faithful to you. And God, I'm not going to commit spiritual adultery by worshiping other idols and glorifying something else other than you. That's how you return your love to Him. You're my faithful partner, my spiritual partner, my first, my one and only spiritual love. I'll have no idols. I'll not worship politics. I'll not worship a church. I'll not worship a man or a woman. I'll not worship anybody or anything, or sports, or football, or basketball, or baseball, or anything else. I will worship you. And if you tell me to turn the TV off, if you tell me to shut the phone off, if you tell me don't mess with the computer, I want time with you, I want time with my spouse, I'm going to say to you, God, through your Holy Spirit, yes, Lord. And I'll not regret it, and I'll not resent it. I'll return my love to you. We're actually leading towards closing. God's calling, yes. Did I miss a point, Lord? Glorify God by what? You know the next one. If I'm going to return His love, then love people. When you love people, you're showing that you have love for yourself, who God made you to be. Is it love your neighbor as yourself? So I glorify God by loving His people. I turn to Him and say, Lord, you love me as nasty and awful as I can be at times, with all my hang-ups and all my past history. God, give me the patience, give me the grace, give me the perseverance, give me the mercy, the understanding that you have for me so I can show it in love to others. Have you ever prayed this prayer? God, use me to love someone who is totally unlovable today. Stretch me, God. Grow me, Lord. Help me love the unlovable. Now, don't sit there and say, oh, God, yeah, that's my husband. No, really. The people you see on TV, you're seeing some folks on television, and you know, or on your phone, or you know, on a computer, you know you don't like them. Have you ever thought of saying, God, I don't have to love their actions, I don't have to love their evil, but God, would you give me a love for their soul? Because you, even them, you do not want them to go to hell. And why am I telling them to do that? When that's the last thing you want for anybody. You ever thought about it? I'm challenged with that. I can see a certain face or hear a certain speech start, and I'm just thinking, you know, all the things I'd like to see happen to you. And God's saying, that's real love, Pastor. Yeah, machine gun preacher. Just mow them down. There's times you got to stand up and do what's right, and that means you take a tough, tough stand. But until those times come, God wants you to be able to look at a person and say, I will not tolerate your actions, but you will not make me hate you. Because God's put that in my heart to love you, and I'm going to love you, but I don't have to love what you do, and I'll do everything I can to stop it. But you, I'm not going to hate you. I will not let hate overwhelm my life and become a god. You ever thought about it? Or my anger, or my temper, or my drinking, or whatever else it is. Now I'm about to close. You ready? In closing, the words we all wait to hear. You glorify God by accepting God's grace, His mercy, His compassion. Let me read to you out of Ephesians 2. It won't be up here. Because I debated whether to put this in. So I'm just going to read it to you real quick. God raised, you can mark this down, read it with yourself later, but you follow along. God raised us up with Christ. You hearing this? And seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. In order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of what? His grace. Expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Here it is. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourself. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Do you hear this? God saved you by His grace by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And God, before you were saved, what does it say? You're His handiwork, and you were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in what? In advance. God already knew what He put you here for, and He was just waiting for you to accept Christ so it could be revealed to you so you fulfill your purpose. So you honor God, you glorify God by accepting God's grace, mercy, and compassion. You know what God says about you? He says you're more important than the birds of the air. You're more important than the flowers in the field. You're more important than anything made in creation. God even knows how many hairs grow on your head. Isn't that what He said? Not one hair of your head falls out, but that God doesn't know about it. So God loves you and knows you that much. He cares about you that much. You're more important than all the other things He's created. He wants you with Him in heaven forever. And you're saying, me? With the way I am? The way I get upset? All the dirty, nasty things I think and do? And God's saying, you're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, my Son, Jesus Christ, by your faith in Him. And I want you at my banquet table. I'm going to carry you home when the day comes. When the bugle sounds, when the trumpet blows, I'm going to pick you up. I'm taking you to heaven because I want you with me. I created you. I love you. And the blood of Jesus has washed you clean. And you're my kids. That's a fact. And I honor Him by accepting that. Quit condemning yourself. Quit judging yourself. Quit beating yourself up for what you did or what you didn't do. Accept the fact that God is here right now. I'm here right now, and I accept His love for me. And God, with all my heart, I open my heart to You, Jesus. Come into my life, save me, cleanse me, heal me, and fill me to overflowing with Your Holy Spirit of love as rivers of living water. I accept Your mercy, God. I accept Your grace. I accept Your compassion, and I thank You. I thank You, I thank You, and I glorify Your name for all of it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.